Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we visit with Susan Troller, writer who lives on a small hobby farm for the express purpose of having as many animals as she can stand.
At least that's what my husband says.
Well, and Susan is the author of Clocked, From Jungle Fowl to City Chicks. She's with us today, and you may hear in the background some clucking going on, and the clucking belongs to
Zelda, the buff Orpington hen. And you also may hear some pecking as she has some snacks and just does this kind of thing that chickens like to do, even in a radio studio.
Well, it's great to have her in the studio. And Judith and Jeffrey were taking photographs, and Judith's probably, as we speak, putting up some pictures of Susan and myself and Zelda in the studio. So if you want to go online to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, you will see some photos of the three of us. And you'll also see many other photos, because a lot of people have already, Susan, sent in photographs of their chickens. And boy, judging from the number of photographs we have, it's pretty popular.
It's a very popular thing. In fact, I don't know, I can't ascertain this, but I have heard that keeping backyard chickens is the fastest growing hobby in America. And in Wisconsin, it is really growing. There are more cities getting ordinances that allow chickens every 6 months or so.
That's pretty cool. How did this trend get going?
Well, Larry, I think that it has something to do with the whole trend for people wanting to know more about where their food comes from.
Yeah.
In some ways, it's an extension of the interest that people have in keeping a garden. And in the same way that you learn to really love what you have raised from your garden, having eggs in your backyard is just a wonderful thing. And then you discover that chickens themselves are highly entertaining.
Well, I know K&A Greenhouse, who they sent a photo in, and I think it's just a backyard thing. And she says, we adore our backyard hens. They absolutely love scratching around our perennial beds and taking dust baths in the dirt. Get yourself a comfortable chair and a few backyard chickens, and you've got hours of entertainment.
Well, we call it chicken TV. And I think a lot of people just find it very relaxing, fun to be around them. They are pretty hilarious.
Is it difficult? I mean, you need a lot of equipment. You obviously need some equipment.
You do. And I mean, I would never say to somebody, oh, it's no commitment whatsoever. Like any living creature, like
sure.
any animal that you care about, you make a commitment to protect them. You make a commitment to feed them and to make certain that they have food and water. So it is an obligation. And many predators like to get chickens. So you do have to have secure housing. But that said, it's not a pet like a dog that lives, 12, 15, 16 years, generally speaking.
Yeah.
And it's pretty easy, pretty minimal care once you have your coop and once you have your routine set up.
Well, I know my wife's been looking enviously at the neighbor's backyard where they have a coop, but they don't have any chickens and don't plan on any. So she's looking at migrating that coop over into our yard.
Well, one of the things that some communities have found is that neighbors, it tends to build community also. People sometimes will share their chickens. And they will, like your neighbors, they may have a coop that they're not using. And so they will let a neighbor use that coop but get some of the eggs, for example.
Mm.
So it's a fun thing for a neighborhood to do as well as for individuals.
Marsha in Winter, or I'm sorry, in Windsor online. Marsha, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi there. Well, I can second all the things you say about entertaining and sharing. I had no idea what these chickens would do for me. But a couple of years ago, I got the bug because my grandkids, who live in Madison, got wind of that Grandma was sort of soft on chickens. I never had, well, I had a short experience many decades ago with chickens, but it wasn't a time when I could actually make them my friends. And in these chickens, I just have a few. And I'm so glad I live in Windsor and not DeForest, because DeForest wouldn't let me if I lived there, even though my mailing address is DeForest. Mm-hmm. DeForest hasn't grown up yet about chickens. But you know, these chickens, I have one little bandy hen who has stolen the heart of all my neighbors. And they make sure that she's okay. They might call me, but it will soon get around to, and how's Izzy? Izzy the wise, because she's so gregarious and pleasant, and she's the first one that my kids pick up and hold without, you know, any kind of challenge. So it's just been delightful, and yes, they are entertaining, and we love the eggs, and we have just enough eggs that I can sell a few and that way pay for the better feed that I buy, and have enough left over to share and consume. So it's just absolutely fabulous.
Working great for you, Marcia. Yeah. Comment, Susan?
Well, I think that her experience is quite common, actually. There are a lot of people who have maybe not even a particularly good memory of having chickens, you know, 100 kind of bedraggled chickens running around the farm and broody hens that peck when kids go and try and get the eggs, and then there's always the mean rooster. So there are some kind of poor memories that people have of larger flocks, and then they're surprised when they have just a few birds that they begin to know as individuals. And yeah, it's a very different kind of experience.
Yeah, it's
it really is.
Marcia,
you know, the other nice thing that has happened to me since I got these chickens is that I ordered a coop from a guy who was selling them on Craigslist. And when it came, I immediately knew I'd made a horrible mistake. It was not nearly what I thought it would be. And even though I saw pictures of it, it was of a poorer quality, and I wanted to send it back, but I couldn't because I already had the chickens. And so what's happened is, as my neighbors have seen what would really, you know, be my wish for the chickens, I have a neighbor who's an architect who came over and said, well, I think we could figure out another kind of design. And they helped me, they collaborated with me to spruce up a garden shed. And we made a tunnel between an old dog run that I have, which was already tunneled to the other chicken coop. So now my chickens have the choice of two coops. One is insulated and has windows and multitudes of trapdoors so they can be in and out. And it it was so much fun. And I gave somebody a little job for a while. So, you know, it's been a win-win for us all.
Well, and one of those community building things also that I think is pretty fascinating.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much, Marcia. Appreciate your call very much. Judith's telling me that we've got the photos up. So, oh, yeah, there's Susan and Zelda and me up on our on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. So take a look. There's a whole bunch of other photos there, too, that you're going to like, too. Robin in Fall Creek, we're going to get to you in just a second. By the way, if you'd like to join in, let me give you that number. It's 1-800-642-1234. Now, Robin, your turn. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. When you mention chickens, it's one thing I get really excited about. We have a very small free-range flock here just outside of Fall Creek. And you can be in the worst mood, and you go over to that barn, and I always come out laughing. They just are very entertaining, and they teach you a lot about life. I want to tell you about Geraldine. She's a 8-year-old Rhode Island Red, and she was actually caught in the mouth of a coyote. And fortunately, my husband was out with our dog, our big dog, who ran the coyote out. She is still with us. Bless her heart. She's just got an incredible spirit. She doesn't run with the other chickens. She kind of gimps along, but just a real good sport, out every day when she can be. And I wanted to just mention one thing about the eggs. There is no comparison to the yolks of a free-range chicken. Even when you go into the store, you can bring them home, and we had some this morning, and my husband and I still remark how absolutely delicious they are.
Oh, man. You're making me hungry.
It's a real treat.
Thanks, Robin. And they are, aren't they?
They are. I don't know whether we convince ourselves of this or not, but I used to work as a food writer and restaurant critic, and one of the things that I always thought about is how important it is to have good quality ingredients. Good food comes from good quality ingredients, and the backyard eggs are really a wonderful place to start for scrambled eggs or poached eggs. They look different. The yolk looks brighter and darker, Actually, Mother Earth News did a study several years ago, and the eggs from free range hens, according to their study, are lower in cholesterol and higher in nutrients.
Oh, Susan Troller, our guest today, author of Clock from, what's the official title? From a Jungle Fowl to City Chicks. I love that. And we've talked with her in the past about the book. It is a fun book with some wonderful illustrations in it, some wonderful drawings. I really enjoyed the book, and certainly enjoy having you listen in. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Go to my Facebook page. You can post there at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. You gave a very popular workshop, by the way, at Garden Expo. That was just two weekends ago.
Yeah, it was a week ago Sunday.
It was
lots of fun. I was talking about gardening with chickens, the perils and pleasures of gardening with chickens. And we had a great crowd. Probably between 300 and 400 people.
Wow.
And some of the people had chickens. Some of the people were thinking about chickens. A couple of the people said they would never have chickens. So it was a good audience. And it was fun to talk about gardening, because, of course, all of us gardeners are beginning to think about that and how we can incorporate our chickens into gardening or not.
Yeah. So, can you really incorporate the chickens with the garden?
The answer is, like with so many things, it depends. Mm-hmm. It depends on what kind of garden you have. It depends on what kind of gardener you are. If you are a meticulous kind of gardener, everything in its place, and you are a collector of rare plants, you probably don't want your chickens in the garden, because they scratch and peck and poop, all kinds of things. But for someone who is interested in using them at certain times of the year for helping with compost or digging up portions of the garden at times when that is not a problem, they can be nicely incorporated. And they look lovely in a landscape, actually.
Susan Troller, our guest. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking with Susan Troller about keeping a backyard flock of chickens. Lots of fun talking with her today. I'm glad you're listening in, too. Kay in Waukesha has a comment or a question, so let's go there. Hi, Kay.
Hi there. I just share a very fond memory of growing up with chickens. I'm soon to be 56, and when I was 4, we moved on to my grandmother's farm, my grandma's farm, rather. I'm from Oklahoma, and that year that we lived with her, I was exposed to so many things. She had a milk cow, but she had chickens, and there's nothing like a little 4-year-old being able to scatter chicken feed at your bare feet and having these little baby chicks just run wild and free, and being able to hold them, my children are 21 and 24, and I've often thought how awesome that would be if they were able to have been exposed to that.
Yeah, yeah.
56, I still remember that as a very pleasant memory. And then the odd thing is to go up and to the chicken house and go in to collect the eggs. And be careful, because there may be a chicken snake in the nest. And to this day, my home, we have clustered mailboxes with the paper box underneath the mailbox.
Yep.
And to this day, I still, when I reach my hand in to get that newspaper, I think about those chicken snakes, about collecting eggs in that nest. It's just one of those things, but it's such a pleasant memory, and I just wanted to share that.
Pleasant memory, except for the snake part. Did you ever reach in and feel a snake?
No, I never did, but I do have pictures of my grandmother holding the tail end of a black chicken snake, and her arm is over her head and is touching the ground.
Oh.
And, you know, to my knowledge, they were harmless, but, you know, to me, snake is a snake is a snake.
Right. I think the snake was after the eggs as well.
Yeah, and well, that brings my my question to one of predators. I mean, in our neighborhood, we've got raccoons galore, who I'm sure wouldn't mind getting there, at least getting in there, sinking their teeth into the eggs, and maybe the chickens as well.
Oh, Larry, the raccoons are very interested in sinking their teeth into the chicken. Everybody likes chicken. That's one of the things that you learn. They like the taste of chicken. And so when you have chickens, either as any kind of commercial flock, small commercial flock, or your backyard chickens, you really do need to protect them from predators. And basically everything's a predator, from potentially a neighbor's dog to possums to raccoons to skunks to, of course, coyotes. And aerial assault too, owls and hawks. And so there are lots of critters who want to take chickens, that's for sure.
And you've probably, and I know you have from your book, I know you've lost a few here and there.
Yes, yes, actually I have. And I think most, no, it's not. It's quite heartbreaking, actually. And yeah. And I think a lot of people have had that experience, both city people, country people, suburban people. Everyone who keeps chickens knows they need to protect their birds. And sometimes all you do isn't enough.
Tim in Mishicot, turning to you now. Hi, Tim.
Good morning. As we were growing up as kids, we always got all kinds of animals for Easter. And we raise them through the season, harvested them the next fall. And, yeah, we had lots and lots of chickens, but I remember we had a white duck. And Lucky was just so special. He talked to everybody in the family, and all it took was an extra wash bucket full of water to keep him around. And I recommend anybody that has flock of chickens have a duck or two, because you can talk to them. They'll talk back to you.
Yeah.
Have a nice day.
Thank you for calling.
You know, that's interesting, because at the Garden Expo, a fellow came up and spoke with me afterwards, and we were talking about pest control in chickens, and that having some chickens who are in your backyard can provide some pest control. There are some studies that have been done on chickens helping control tick problems and things like that. And this man said that he had a dairy farm and he had some ducks, and he said ducks have been just wonderful on his farm and have really helped with fly problems. I can't tell you for sure if that's true or not, but he certainly felt it. He was a fan of ducks.
Well, we had chickens and ducks. I mean, I was raised on a farm as a kid and up until I was 13 or so, and we had ducks and probably 100 or so chickens. And the ducks, you know, they had free run, and they were fun.
They were
really nice to have. Roxanne in Oshkosh, your turn. Hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm a newbie chicken owner, so I got them last year. They are about a year old, and they free range. I'm on about an acre of land, and they're behind the house, and a lot of times I'll go out, and as soon as I walk out in the morning, they hear me, and they start calling to me. You know, I go, I let them out. And then a lot of times I've got a big giant schnoodle dog, and we play frisbee in the front yard. And every time we go out and play Frisbee, two of my chickens, my peepers, the two little peepers, they come and they'll come and they'll stand on the Frisbee so my dog can't get at the Frisbee when she comes and brings it back to me. They follow me wherever I go. It's just funny to watch. And all the neighbors help bringing over, you know, lettuce and scraps that they don't, you know, that they don't
they're not going to use.
Yeah, it's really fun. And I just wanted to say, I experienced when my peepers were small, I experienced one just went missing one day. And a couple of days later, I was hanging out some laundry on my line, and right across the coop came this huge hawk, just kind of looking for another little snack to have.
So hawks, something else to have to think about.
They are hawks and owls, and one of the things that's it's interesting, most of the city ordinances don't allow roosters, but I live in the country, and I have had roosters from time to time. And it's interesting to hear a rooster give the call. It is like an aerial assault call, and everybody dives for cover. And he will make a very specific kind of vocalization if he sees the shadow of one of those big raptors.
Interesting. Thank you, Roxanne. We had an email from Larry in Carbondale, Illinois. Susan, he said, I was wondering if a small flock of chickens, if they're given free range on a property, could they find sufficient food on their own to sustain themselves? That is, can they sustain themselves without having to purchase food from a feedlot or something?
I guess I probably wouldn't try that because by the time you figured that it wasn't enough food, it would be too late. And so I would say probably it, I would tend to supplement it, but I think that you use a lot less food when the birds are free ranging. And it depends on the breed of chicken as well. Some are much better at foraging than others. There are some of the breeds that are pretty, that seem a little closer to some of the, you know, sort of the ancient breeds like the kind of the game type. Chickens may be better at foraging than others.
And Zelda is, tell us about Zelda again, who you brought to the studio.
Zelda is a buff Orpington hen. It's an older heritage breed. My grandfather raised buff Orpingtons. And they're known as a dual purpose breed. They're raised both for meat and for eggs. They're very easygoing. They're kind of a good starter chicken for somebody who has backyard chickens because they're pleasant, they're easy to get along with, they're quite hardy, they are good in our cold climate here in Wisconsin. They tend to be pretty friendly with children and docile. So it's a nice breed to get started with.
So you were calling it what? The golden?
We always call our buff Orpingtons the golden retrievers of chickens because
I love that.
They're placid and friendly, outgoing birds.
Beth in Hammond says we want to raise chickens for eggs. What kind of chickens do you recommend for someone who has never raised them? Well, we just talked about that a little bit, but maybe talk a bit more about what you would recommend.
Well, the kind of bird that is a great producer of eggs maybe is not as good as a pet. Those tend to be some of the commercial breeds like the Leghorns, which lay lots and lots and lots of eggs. But they have a reputation for being a little flighty, maybe a little more high strung. So I would say some of the breeds like the Buff Orpington, Rhode Island Reds have a good reputation as being a nice backyard chicken, Barred Rocks. There are some wonderful publications that tell all of the breed characteristics and what breeds work well in what kind of climate and which breeds have what kind of personality. I think a lot of Gail Damerow's book Raising Chickens. It's a wonderful book, and there are lots of publications out there that people can go to and find out about breeds of chickens and what they need and how they behave as far as laying eggs, or, you know, if people are interested in something that's a dual-purpose breed, that they would be interested in raising some of their own meat as well.
I like your book because you do have you have some great stories in the book.
Right.
But there's also quite a bit of information about
it tells the stories of people who have chickens. And so you can learn a lot from that. And in talking about the book and talking to people at bookstores and at other events, one of the things that I've learned is everybody has a chicken story. whether you're at the Overture Center in Madison or at a feed store in Iowa, everybody's got a chicken story.
I was thinking of the banty hens. We used to raise banty hens as well as the regular chickens. They used to chase me around.
Well, they can be fairly lively, let's say.
Yeah. I was a little kid. I remember running away from them. Carolyn Scales Mound, it is your turn. Hi.
Hi, good morning, and thank you. As far as I'm concerned, Larry, you can have this wonderful interviewer back every week, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
I've had chickens for many years, and I've incorporated guineas with them. And they're an African chicken.
Yep.
And I see such a big difference. Chickens always come home to roost, and guineas fight with one another and chase the weaker males away. So I have a pecking order problem here. And, gee, my guineas seem to be, a 4-foot fence can't keep them in, but a 2-foot fence can keep them out. And I have a problem in that I have them confined yet because the strong males will chase the weak males away. And now I'm having a problem with that pecking order. Other than separating them, is there anything I can do to get them to get along?
Well, I don't know. I don't have experience with guineas. I know that they have a good reputation for eating a lot of bugs and not scratching the way chickens
they
do.
They are easy to garden with. They're wonderful. And
right.
When we have guineas, we have no ticks or grasshoppers or crickets.
Yeah, that is what I've heard, that is a real benefit with the guineas. But I do not know how you can, other than separating birds where there's a peck order problem. When you're introducing new birds to a flock, you can separate them through a wire and gradually get them used to each other. And maybe you might want to try that. If you can somehow separate them but let them see each other until they get accustomed to each other. But I really don't know other than that.
What to do.
Yeah.
What would you do? Now, I have read and tried hanging a red shirt or a red rag in the pen. Have you heard anything like that?
No, and as I say, I am not very experienced with guineas or ducks, for that matter. Chickens have kind of been my intro to the avian world.
Well, maybe
somebody else knows if the red shirt trick might work.
Carol, thank you. Stay listening. We'll see if we get a call. By the way, that number is 1-800-642-1234. Justin in Galena, Illinois. Hi.
Hey. This is a great program. Me and my girlfriend just got 17 chickens yesterday. We got 12 chicklets and 5 older chickens. So.
Oh, cool.
Congratulations. Lucky you.
Yeah, and I was sitting there eating my breakfast of eggs because, you know, we have a couple. We're starting an organic farm here in Galena. And the program came on, and I was like, oh, this is great.
Good. Well, those eggs are great, aren't they?
Oh, they're fantastic. And I don't know if you can hear them.
Oh, those are your babies, aren't they?
Yep, we have them under a light, and they're doing fantastic. So it's a heavy breed, straight run. So some will be males and some will be females. But, yeah, it's a great hobby. And I appreciate the program.
Thanks, Justin. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Boy, I tell you, people who get chickens and who have chickens are they're enthusiastic about it.
They are in love with their birds, and it is, they're really a lot of fun.
Oh, a lot of fun. Absolutely. Edie in Baraboo, good to hear your voice. Hi.
Hi, Larry. I have had chickens since I was a little kid. My dad loved chickens, so we've always had things, and when I lived by myself years ago in different places, I always had a little tiny banty hen that lived in the house. And you can keep her in a
bird cage and mm-hmm. let her out when you're home from work and run around. The poops are tiny, and they don't crow, so nobody knows you got it. You can teach them to put a string on their leg and walk along with you. So when I had a garden, she was always out there with me, pecking and scratching. And, and so you don't really, if you don't have a law in your city, you can have a tiny little chicken in there. And some of them aren't more than 6-8 inches high if you get the little breeds.
Right. The little tiny bantams are don't even weigh a pound, some of them. They're just very, very tiny ornamental birds and very, very charming.
Yeah, and they'll eat some of your little table scraps if you don't eat everything on your plate. They're right there to eat it.
Right, right. And my little bantam hen, when she would free range with the rest of my flock, the car would come down the driveway. She'd see the car, and she would run to the car.
Oh,
very cute little thing.
And the other thing is, somebody asked about what were the some of favorite kinds for land hens. I just love the white rocks. They're big and beautifully white, always real white, and quiet and just big.
So you've had good luck with them.
Yeah.
With white rocks.
Nice
good.
Dark eggs. And and then another thing somebody asked about introducing chickens, I have always put the new ones in the coop at night and put them right on the roost, right up in amongst all the others. And when they wake up in the morning, they most of the time don't even know that there's somebody new next to them.
Well, that's something that I've heard as well. And when chickens, when they're roosting at night, are so soundly asleep and very, very quiet. And so that is a good time to put them together. And then by the morning, it's as if they have always been there. But you do need to watch them pretty closely just to see how that interaction is going.
Yeah.
Thanks, Edie.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. Good to hear from you again. Jane in Middleton, it's on to you now. Hi, Jane.
Hi there. I have two questions. One regarding the protection from predators. If they're in their run and the top is open, they're probably going to be susceptible to hawks and whatnot. So do you recommend putting a fence on top or some sort of covering on top? And then the other question is, I'm not going to be ready this spring for chickens. I need to get the coop and all that, but can I get chickens in the fall?
I would say that it might be a little tricky to get little chicks in the fall, depending on how late in the fall it is. Most people get their tiny little birds, you know, their baby birds, in the spring, kind of through the summer. Late in the fall, you might be able to find some young pullets who would be almost ready to start laying eggs, and that certainly would be something that you could do.
Okay.
As far as protecting your birds, some people will put like a netting over the top of an open coop area, and that's an effective barrier for things like hawks and owls.
Oh, and then you could take it off if you need to get in there for anything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Jan in Barron. Hi there. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for this program. I just got in my car and was going down the highway, so I don't know if this subject has been touched on. I have a very small flock, 11 chickens, and this is their second winter, but they really laid off on their eggs. I get maybe one or two a day. I keep the light on 24/7 in their coop. I'm not sure what else to do.
I don't know exactly. Are they getting enough to eat, and do they have enough space to run around in?
Yes, they do. I let them free range when my husband doesn't complain too much about it, them getting in his shed. But
okay.
So I do let them free range when I can, and every day their feeder is filled and the water is changed. And
So some breeds tend to lay better through the winter than others. You know, some are very winter hardy and don't seem to be much bothered by the cold. My Orpingtons laid really well through the winter. My little Bantam, not so much. But the Orpingtons are pretty winter hardy, and so they have tended to lay pretty well. Although I have a friend who has Delawares, and she had exactly the same experience that you did. Hers didn't lay much this winter.
If I was to get smaller chicks to replace, I can't bring myself to kill these guys.
Right. Right, that's the problem, isn't it?
I don't want to eat them. But if I get smaller chicks, I only have one chicken coop. How do I introduce a new group of chicks to the older group?
Well, I would say keep them separated initially, and you know, have some kind of barrier between them. A lot of space between them is also a good thing that will help. If you don't have them crowded, that helps chickens adjust to each other better.
But eventually you'll be able to blend the group together?
Kind of depends on the breeds and the personalities. So all the rules with chickens are, well, it depends. And I would say that, you know, some of the guides like Gail Damerow's Raising Chickens has some good information on that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good suggestions. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Maybe we have time for Lynn in Rushford, Minnesota. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. Wonderful program. Just enjoying it a lot. Wanted to put in a plug for the Courageous Rooster. Unfortunately, a lot of cities that allow chickens don't allow roosters, but that's one of the reasons why eggs from free-range hens have less cholesterol. The contribution from the rooster for a fertile egg produces lecithin, and lecithin is a natural emulsifier of cholesterol. So, boy, I wish we could get those roosters in there.
Oh, thanks so much.
You know, I was thinking about some of the practical questions that people have been asking, and I also want to put in a real plug for the county agents, the extension agents that do so much for people who have questions about gardens and people who have questions about chickens. Either your 4-H agent or your ag agent, call
your
county
agent.
Call county extension in your county, and they will be just a wealth of help. And I'd also like to put in a plug for Ron Keene here at the University of Wisconsin, who is known as the answer man when it comes to backyard chickens. So he is fantastic.
He is at that. And you're fantastic too, Susan. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. It's one of my very favorite subjects.
She's great at it, isn't she? Susan Troller, writer, her book, Cluck, From Jungle Fowl to City Chicks, is a great book. I really enjoyed reading it and talking with her about it on other occasions. She'll be back. We'll talk with her again about chickens and raising them. Well, visiting with her and her friend Zelda was fun. And when we hear that name, many of us think of Zelda Fitzgerald, who's an icon of the 1920s. And author Jennifer Cheverini has written a new novel that takes place during that time period. And we'll be back to hear all about that next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.